we'll come from nothing. You know what I say? Cheer up, you old bugger. Come on, give us a quiz. There you are. See?
It's nearly the end of the record. You'll be announcing another tune in a minute.
The right.
All right. So your girlfriend's just run off with an Argentinian polo player.
Argentinian polo player. Am I allowed to say that? Probably not.
Oh, I think so nowadays, because it didn't name the player as
well.
Such,
just as well, I think. Now, that was played in honour of our first professorial guest, which was Richard Keeble. Don't forget his chat about WikiLeaks, NSA revelations, journalists and the secret state. 6:15, so just about an hour's time at the Cargill Lecture Theatre. And our next professorial guest walked into the studio. I was saying quietly to him, I said, look, well, we played that for Richard because it was his sick tune. And Andrew says, oh, I thought you were playing it for me. Andrew Hunter, thank you very much indeed for joining us here on Siren 107.3 FM.
Thank you very much.
We often see you pass by and I wave jollily at you, but it's great to get you in here because the headline that really took me was Lincoln to train the next generation of scientists to detect diseases through retinal imaging. I thought, we've got to get you in to talk about that. And the man to ask you the big, difficult, important questions is the doctor, Nigel.
Well, thank you very much. But I must point out that I'm a generalist rather than... Yes. You know,
this is not your specific area of expertise.
Not by about 180 degrees, near enough, I'd say.
Yeah, let's not go into it.
When I was a medical student, back in the dark ages, we used to be able to vaguely look in the back of the eye with a retinoscope, and it was very hit and miss and touch and go. And you had to, you know, have a very well-trained patient, a dark room, and a lot of hope, prayer and optimism, really, to see what was going on. But things have changed so radically nowadays, I think you'd agree, Andrew, in terms of the quality of the image that you can see and being able to keep the image and compare it over time as well.
Yes, that's right. Anyone who goes to an optician now will probably be used to the opticians using an ophthalmic camera. It's a digital camera. It captures a picture of the retina, the back of your eye, the only place in your body where you can see the blood vessels from the outside.
Indeed.
Which is very important to
us. And it's quite spooky when you see it for the first time. I have to say, 2 hours ago, I was having exactly this done for my regular checkup, so I can talk from real experience. Yeah. It's quite a shock when you look
at it. And think, dear God, is that normal? And the answer is probably yes.
Yes, yes, it is. Well, normally, yes. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And because it has moved hugely, as Nigel was saying, from there to where you are in training the next generation. Mm.
And so the point there, of course, is that we can and do routinely capture these very detailed images of the retina. And one of the things you can see there is the blood vessels, the blood vessels on the retina. And they respond and change and do various things in response to diseases of the vasculature. And so potentially are very diagnostic. And what we're really interested in is understanding how those changes happen and what they are and what they can be used for.
Because I suppose most people, when they think of going and having their eyes looked at, they're just thinking of disease processes directly affecting the eye. They're thinking, you know, glaucoma's the key one, isn't it, really? And macular degeneration, things that are specific. But in terms of the art and the science, it's a wonderful window to the body in order to pick up early conditions. I think that's the case, isn't it? Before they may manifest themselves.
Yes, that's where we'd like to get to. Mm. And the truth is that we probably don't know at the moment just how much we can determine how quickly about each set of diseases. The body is an amazingly adaptive thing. So the blood vessels will respond and change as problems are encountered. And sometimes that means, in a sense, that they hide the problems. Mm.
Again, you talk to me. I have now been diagnosed with glaucoma, but I just thought it was a little fuzziness. You know, sometimes you get little things floating across the surface of the eye. And as soon as I said this a year ago to my optician, he said, okay, let's just look at this. And then he started to detect things. Because the body does have this way of compensating, doesn't it? And with the eyes, it can do that easily because one half of the brain will sort of fill in vaguely to make up for what's missing.
That's right. And so people often aren't aware when they've got visual problems. You can lose quite a lot of... your vision before you realise something's going on. A classic example is when people lose peripheral vision. They don't realise they're losing it. They just start bumping into things.
Yes. That can happen for other reasons, Andrew. But it
can just be age, yes.
Yes, or alcohol, but we won't go down there. The sort of this has attracted a very large budget to go with it, hasn't it? It's almost €1 million, is that right?
No, it's a lot more than that. Mm. It's about 3.8
I'll to put my glasses on and then read the press release.
Yeah, yeah. So it is a very, very major project. It's an EU project. It's called a Marie Curie Integrated Training Network. What it does is to pay for actually 13 researchers, each of whom is taking a PhD, spread across a variety of institutes across Europe. And they all work on different aspects of this problem, but they all cooperate and exchange and move between different countries. And the point of it is that it's a very big problem, very big problem to solve. And there are various groups who work on different aspects of this, but no one's ever brought them all together to work on this one huge problem before.
Now, let's just focus for the moment. Sorry about that terrible pun. But let's focus on just how important this is for Lincoln. Lincoln, you know, an emerging university right up the top there. And the sort of research that we're doing here in science and computer technology is, you know, at the groundbreaking world ranking level, isn't it? And this very much puts us in that category.
Yeah, absolutely. In this field, we are very, very big players. And I think for Lincoln, in a way, that's what it's all about across different areas. It's being world class in our niches. So there are maybe a dozen groups in the world who work in this area, and we are one of those.
Isn't that fantastic?
Groups, yeah.
It makes me tingle. It makes me proud to be part of, you know, in a very small way here at Siren, but it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Mm. You just think, wow, this is not just something we do on paper and academically moving students from A to B. This is actually going to make a difference to people's lives.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about.
How soon does it start, or is it already on the way?
It's already started, so actually it's a three-year programme. Most of the researchers started a couple of months ago. Today in Lincoln we are hosting a workshop, so we have a two-week training workshop. We've just opened it with Professor Tokke Beck from Aarhus University in Denmark, who's one of our collaborators, giving us an absolutely stellar performance, telling us about, you know, the underlying medical conditions and how they affect the physiology of the eye, what happens, how the system compensates. Later on in the week, we have experts from INRIA in France, Charité in Berlin, and they'll be talking about modelling hemodynamics, how the blood flows, how it changes, how it responds to, you know, different conditions that arise from the degrees. And then next week we do the image processing and how you measure things. And then finally we all collapse exhausted at the end of the week.
OK, the final question, because we have to do that sort of thing. The €3.8 million question is, how quickly, and you probably can't answer this, will me going to my optician actually benefit from the sort of research that's being done here? You say it's a three-year trial or a three-year collaboration. How quickly is that then disseminated to the professionals to employ in their various professions?
Well, I'll start with the bad news and give you a story. So when I started this research about 14 years ago, in my case, that's how long I've been working in the field. My first research student, we discussed how to detect some things in the retina when he started in about week two, and he did some reading and he went off and he came back after 2 weeks. He looked quite grey. He said, "Andrew, I'm really worried. I've solved it to 90%. What am I going to do for the rest of my PhD?" And I said, "James, don't worry. I'm sure it will get harder." So 14 years later, we still haven't actually completely solved the problem. It gets more difficult the deeper you go. And so the serious answer is we have involved in this project companies who will want to exploit the technology. We have outstanding world-leading groups, but people have been working in this field for 15 years. Mm-hmm. I think what we've identified is the big thing we need to do to make progress. And if that goes well, towards the end of the 3 years, we'll be looking at how we, you know, commercialise it and start to have an effect on what happens out there. Fantastic. But don't hold your breath.
Well, I shan't, but maybe in 10 years' time I might be able to see a little label saying, as developed at Lincoln University.
Within 10 years, if it kills me, and I hope less than that.
I sincerely hope it doesn't. Many thanks indeed, and you will keep us updated with the progress as it unravels, especially
absolutely.
If there's a wonderful light bulb moment here in Lincoln.
Well, do you know, you never know.
Keep our fingers crossed. All the best, and Andrew Hunter, thank you very much indeed for joining us here at Siren 107.3 FM.
OK, thank you.